Now, at this time of year, we've just finished celebrating Thanksgiving, one of the few days that we can enjoy with all our friends and family, in or out of the church. It's interesting that we write and say the word Thanksgiving as if it was one word, but that's not the way it started out being written or said. Originally, it was two separate words that describe what was being done on a particular day. It was a day spent giving thanks. Today, God's part in that day has become quite insignificant, but that should not be the case either on Thanksgiving Day or any other day of the year. It is to God that we should give thanks for national blessings, the blessings that He has given to us. It is God who has blessed us with material prosperity. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12, we have a warning to be careful not to forget God when we have eaten and are full, as on Thanksgiving Day. I'll read it from the NIV, Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you can eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We want to be careful that we don't turn the celebration of this day into an empty holiday, forgetting who gave us everything that we have. But today I'm not planning on addressing Thanksgiving per se. I want to speak on the topic of gratitude, a grateful attitude. That also happens to be my title. A grateful attitude, something we should all be developing, and something that Thanksgiving Day originally focused on. I'd like to think that we're all aware of all the physical blessings that we do enjoy today. The past 2 years should have reminded us how very blessed we are in this country, in spite of the shortages, supply chain breakdowns, COVID, and economic challenges. We still have electricity, unlike some countries where it is sporadic and unreliable. And we can expect to turn on our faucets and have running water come out. So many basic things that people in other countries struggle with, God has blessed us with. Since we've probably spent some time thinking about how grateful we are for all the physical blessings we have, I'm not going to spend any time here. Although it's obvious that we are still very blessed. And of course, we have our personal reasons for being grateful to God and what He does for us. What I'd like to do today is look at gratitude from the standpoint of why we need to show it, how it can be a tool for growth, and what it may mean if we don't express it. Let's start by looking at why we need to show it. The short answer is, we need to show gratitude because God does, and we want to be like Him. Let's look at Luke 3, where we find that God Himself expressed appreciation. In Luke 3, verse 22, after Jesus had persuaded John the Baptist to baptize him and the Holy Spirit had been descended on him, we learn that God spoke these words. Luke 3:22, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." He let Jesus know that He was very satisfied and happy with all that He was doing. That had to be very encouraging to Christ. We know that God is also going to show gratitude to us as he welcomes us into his family with the words we want to hear. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Those words will mean a lot to all of us. Why do we need to show gratitude? Because we want to be like God in all things. That's a good reason for us to follow the encouragement that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Ephesus. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, we're told to be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where we're instructed, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should give thanks because we've been told to do so. Hopefully, we should learn more and more to give thanks because we want to. Because wanting to be like God in all things, what are some other reasons that we want to develop an attitude of gratitude? I'll mention five reasons, but I'm sure you can think of some more. First of all, gratitude plays a role in any kind of right relationship with God. Gratitude plays a role in any kind of relationship, any kind of right relationship with God. Let's go to James. James 1, verse 17, we're reminded, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. In other words, all of our blessings flow from God. Since God is the giver of all good things, how could we possibly hope to have a good relationship with him if we are self-centered, ungrateful, indifferent to what he has done for us, both physically and especially spiritually? Here's something for us to consider. When we do something nice for someone and they aren't grateful, are we anxious to continue extending the favor? What if God weren't God and stopped doing nice things for us because we're not grateful? We want to make sure that our relationship is strong and taking the time to thank God for all he does for us and has allowed us to know help keeps us grateful. A second reason we want to develop an attitude of gratitude is being grateful attracts positive thoughts. Complaining attracts negative thoughts. Being grateful attracts positive thoughts. Complaining attracts negative thoughts. As you know, we make choices every day. Sometimes we have to choose whether to complain or be grateful. When we choose to complain, we can be sure that negative thoughts and people will be attractive. It's a matter of perspective. Do we focus on our problems or our blessings? Well, unfortunately, as humans, we have to be reminded to focus on our blessings. Why? Because our tendency is to focus on our problems, to dwell on what's missing, something we lack, especially if someone else happens to have what we think should have. Or if someone appears to be going through their life without any of the trials that we might be facing. If we choose an attitude of gratitude, we have created an opportunity for the best thinking, best actions and results to emerge. If we want good consequences, we must focus on what we are grateful for and express thanks for it. We have our blessings in this country, not because we are good or because we deserve them. We have them because God is good. He promised them to Abram, and he kept his word. Because we have so many blessings in this country, it can be easy to take them for granted. Being grateful for our blessings helps us to be content without being complacent about them. We take them for granted or regard them as entitlements. Gratitude helps us avoid the sin of covetousness because we realize that we already have so much that we don't basically need anything else. It requires thankfulness to be content. How can you be covetous and thankful at the same time? Well, you can't. A third reason we want to develop an attitude of gratitude is because gratitude inspires others' good attitudes. Gratitude inspires others' good attitudes. When we express our gratitude, whether toward God or our fellow man, it can help others stop and look at themselves. It helps make them realize that maybe they haven't been aware enough of just who they owe thanks to. God, of course. God, of course, does not need our thanks to be motivated, but thanking Him can motivate others to recognize God's role in their lives. And just because He doesn't need our thanks doesn't mean gratitude isn't appreciated. We know that Christ commented on the fact that of the 10 lepers that He helped, that He healed, only one returned to say thank you. So He was aware, just as God the Father is aware. A fourth reason is because giving thanks has the power to improve our lives. Giving thanks has the power to improve our lives. I'd like to read from an article in a columnist, Jeff Jacoby, titled "The Power of Giving Thanks." Quoting, "There is a secret to happiness, and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful. We tend to think that it is being unhappy that leads people to complain. But it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads to people becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you will become a much happier person." He continues, "This helps explain why the Judeo-Christian tradition places such emphasis on thanking God. Why? Because God needs our gratitude? No. Because we need it. That is why Psalm 92 tells us it is good to give thanks to the Lord." Continuing, "If you never give a moment's thought to the fact that your health is good, that your children are well fed, that your home is comfortable, that your nation is at peace, if you assume that the good things in your life are normal and to be expected, you diminish the happiness they can bring you. By contrast, if you train yourself to reflect on how much worse off you could be, if you develop the custom of counting your blessings and being grateful to them, you will fill your life with cheer. It can be hard to do. Like most useful skills, it takes years of practice before it becomes second nature. This is one reason that religion, sincerely practiced, leads to happiness. It ingrains the habits of thankfulness." Why else would we want to develop an attitude of gratitude? My fifth reason, because gratitude is necessary for personal development. Because gratitude is necessary for personal development. If we don't feel grateful, we're probably self-centered and possibly negative. All the things that Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy 3. I know that we look at this scripture frequently, but today let's look at it from the standpoint of gratitude. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 2. Well, let me start in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'm going to read from the NIV. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud. This sounds like people that aren't keeping God in the picture at all. They've forgotten where their best things have come from. Continuing in verse 2. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and lovers of the good. Good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Did you hear any words in that sound like this, they're describing a person with a grateful heart? I don't think so. If we don't want these words to be describing us, we must develop an attitude of gratitude. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you're feeling grateful. It's hard to recognize what God or even another person has done for us if we aren't expecting all the comforts of life just as a matter of course. And if we want to grow in character, we need to put our thankfulness into action. I can't remember when I read the exact details, but a story was told of an organization that wanted to help inner city youths by sending them to the country for a week. I don't know exactly why it was handled this way, but the group was divided into two separate groups. One group was paid nothing towards their stay. One group paid nothing toward their stay, and the other half was required to pay a nominal fee, an amount that wasn't beyond anybody's reach. What I thought was really interesting was the outcome. No one in the group that went for free said thank you. Everyone in the other group wrote a note expressing their thanks and appreciation for the experience. That's similar to the 10 lepers and the one who said thank you. There's some indications that 9 lepers who didn't say thank you were Jewish, and the one who did was a Samaritan. The Jewish people had a whole lot more to be thankful for than the Samaritan, and yet it was the Samaritan that gave thanks. Since we don't have to pay to receive God's free gift of eternal life, do we therefore value it less than we should? Do we fail to say thank you for it? Do we take it for granted? We've been looking at why. We've been looking at why we should express gratitude and what it will do for us when we practice being grateful. But what does it mean if we don't express gratitude or don't express it genuinely? If we don't express our gratitude, it may be a sign of something else. It may mean that we think that we're responsible for our own blessings and our comfortable lifestyle. Or lack of expressing our gratitude may be due to the fact that we've succumbed to this world's entitlement mentality and just expect to have all the good things of life. Neither way of thinking is correct. Back in 1997, Good News, Gerald Ost wrote an article for the Good News magazine. Thanksgiving, a timeless lesson. In the article, he wrote, one of the greatest basic witnesses of human nature is that of ingratitude. He goes on to write some very important words for us to pay attention to. Lack of obedience to God may indicate ingratitude. If we acknowledge that God's standards are superior to ours, but fail to obey them, we indicate our lack of understanding, our personal weakness, or, here's the scariest part, a willingness to disobey and a lack of gratitude for what God has given us. What about this willingness to disobey? Notice I didn't say willfulness. As we are reminded, we all sin willingly, but hopefully not willfully, not deliberately choosing to do so. God can forgive our sins, even though we're ego participants in them at times, but a deliberate choice to sin, a willful decision, speaks of an attitude that is not of God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8. In Deuteronomy 8, we can see where God has Moses warn the new generation of the importance of obedience if they were to learn from the sad example of their parents. God had led them out of bondage in Egypt and performed miracles for them and fed them, but their parents were ungrateful. Their parents' ungratefulness bore a stiff penalty. Now, this new generation was being exhorted to remember God's law and their parents' lack of obedience to it. They were encouraged to change their attitudes to one of gratitude and obedience rather than one of complaining and disobedience. Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Notice that with everything else, as with everything else, when God commands something, the benefit is going to be for us. This is an important point to keep in mind all the time. As with everything else God commands us to do, being grateful is actually for our benefit. Verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. In verse 6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. In verses 7 to 9 give details of the wonderful land that they were going to be entering. In verses 10 and 11, he warns them, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Then he tells them, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. Why? Well, we're given the answer in verses 12 to 16. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of bondage, who led you through the wilderness and fed you with manna. And here's the danger, verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. God warned them about this all too human weakness to give oneself, not him, credit for what one has. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. This warning is not for ancient Israel alone. Lack of gratitude to God is all too common through the ages. Mr. Oss continued in his article, if we're not grateful, it just might be because we've forgotten the source of our blessings. Psalm 21, verse 1, I'll just read it. While Psalm 21, 1, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. While Psalm 24, 1 may point out that all our blessings come from God, our actions don't always acknowledge this truth. True thankfulness goes hand in hand with humility. Then his comment is interesting, which may be why thankfulness may be so difficult for many of us. Obviously, thinking that we are responsible for our own blessings is not a good idea. People today often have both an entitlement mentality and an unappreciable attitude. That's a great combination, isn't it? We have a choice, and we should always choose gratitude over entitlement. A number of years ago, Thomas Sowell wrote an article. Although his topic was on Thanksgiving, it applies to our whole way of thinking now. He wrote, there was a time when Thanksgiving meant an occasion for counting our blessings, but now that we have so many blessings that previous generations could hardly have dreamed about, we take them all for granted and are much more likely to count our grievances and ways in which others have been unfair to us. I asked before what it might mean if we don't express gratitude genuinely. Might it mean that we're nothing more than a hypocrite? Let's look at Luke 18. We're familiar with the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18, verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Did you notice? They trusted in themselves. These listeners showed a characteristic that too many have today. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's an interesting line. Prayed thus with himself. He certainly wasn't reaching out to God with his prayer. Continuing, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. For our purposes, we can end right there. The Pharisee's arrogance and lack of humility were preventing him from being able to express sincere thanks. He didn't really feel the need to be thankful for anything because he was giving himself credit for being who he was. and making the critical mistake of comparing himself to others rather than to God. As Mr. Ost wrote, true thankfulness goes hand in hand with humility, again, which may be why thankfulness may be difficult for many. What are the real dangers of ingratitude? The Thompson Chain Link Reference Bible lists the dangers of ingratitude as turning to apostasy, backsliding, and forsaking God. If we think about it, the only way that we can get that far off track is for us to begin to think that we are responsible for our blessings. Yes, I keep coming back to that point because that really is the point. Our blessings come from God and God alone. One of the reasons the model prayer in Matthew 6 has us requesting our daily bread is so that in a land of plenty, we're forced to stop and think about the fact that our food comes from God. We can't make it rain in due season. We can't control the weather that will allow crops to grow and make it to harvest. We're all dependent on God for our survival. And sometimes it takes a hurricane, a tsunami, or a drought, or a flood to remind us of that. In the U.S. and Canada, the thanks part in this holiday can become meaningless. We too often don't realize how many blessings we have in this country, but our taking them for granted can be a warning. And Mr. Ost, while he wanted to point out things we take for granted for which we should be thankful, the primary point is a warning about why the world is this way and how unthankfulness may be adding to our problems. Let's look at Romans. Romans 1, starting in verse 21. Romans 1, 21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. If we are not thankful to God, it changes the way we think for the worse. It darkens our hearts. It takes away from our happiness and our mental and emotional well-being. Even some of the personal problems that we have in our lives could be caused by a lack of gratitude. We as members of the church all have blessings that those that are not called by God can't yet have. And those spiritual blessings are the most important blessings of all. And we need to be grateful for them. Again, it's not because God needs our thanks, but because we will be benefited by expressing them. This benefit of expressing sincere thanks can be seen in another article, Thanksgiving Day, More Than Just Being Thankful, by Don Hoosier. What I thought was interesting were his comments about the difference between being thankful and thankfulness. He wrote, anyone could say, I am thankful I have a good job, and simply means he's glad to have that job. How much better it would be to think of the many people throughout his life who have helped him prepare and helped make his good job possible. He goes on to point out, when it comes to the need to be thankful, the Bible emphasizes action over passivity. In the New King James Version of the Bible, the word thankful is used 3 times. The word thanksgiving, or the phrases give thanks, or give you thanks, meaning referring to God, all of which imply action. Those phrases appear 74 times. He also wrote that the word praise implies a big thank you given with an abundance of admiration and respect. The greatest praise, obviously, should go to God. Years ago, the Bible reading program spent months on the Book of Psalms. In its introduction to the Book of Psalms, it pointed out that even though the original Hebrew title of the book has not been preserved, in rabbinic literature, the accepted name is the Book of Praises. Or based upon what Mr. Hoosier wrote, it could be we could say it's the book of a great big thank you. We need to deliver thanks with admiration and respect. A couple of benefits of reading the Psalms and noting the thankfulness that is woven throughout them is that we can gain an attitude of mind that keeps us from thinking too highly of our achievement. They help us keep our priorities straight. Thankfulness breeds the contentment that whatever the circumstances, God is with us. It reminds us that even in the midst of prosperity, God calls us to remember who we really are. Let's go ahead and turn and look at some of the Psalms. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verses 28 to 31. David praises God highly. In verse 30, he writes, "As for God, his way is perfect." And in 49, "Therefore, because of all these things he has mentioned, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name." The basis for giving thanks is that God has made us. We did not make ourselves. Let's go to Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." Moreover, God cares for us, guides us, and provides us. Provides for us as a shepherd does his sheep. As we read in the rest of that verse, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We don't need to turn there, but Acts 17:28 reminds us, "For in him we live and move and have our own being." Perhaps most important for us today is to remember that it is God who sustains us and ultimately will preserve us through all things. Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7. "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble." Verse 10. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." And Psalm 41, beginning in verse 1. "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies." And let's look at one last reminder of what we owe God in this area. Psalm 121. Psalm 121, verse 2. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Verse 5. "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." Verse 7. "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. While the Psalms portray the full range of human experience, joy, anger, love, hatred, fear, prosperity, suffering, victory, rage. There's one other thing they do. They consistently give thanks to God for everything from God's gracious provisions to God's presence in the midst of evil. That's why we're told in everything, give thanks. That means all circumstances, not just when things appear to be going our way. Many of David's Psalms dealt with being thankful, and he was a man that was more like God than any other man. Perhaps one of his greatest qualities was his gratitude toward God. Even through all his trials, sorrows, persecutions, he constantly praised God for all things in all circumstances. He remembered to give thanks. Gratitude on Thanksgiving Day and any other day helps us not only appreciate our blessings, but also, more importantly, to recognize their source. We benefit by being reminded of that by ourselves. We not only can do nothing, we are nothing. I'd like to conclude by reading from Mr. Kubik's personal on November 11, in which he relates an account of his visit to the Ukraine in 1992, when he stayed with some Sabbath keepers. He wrote, This was 1 year after Ukraine tore itself away from the Soviet Union and became an independent nation. The economy was in shambles. Stores were empty. Food was scarce. Mr. Kubik was asked to stand in line to get a family's bread for the next week, which was an experience in itself. But what he specifically remembers is that as the Sabbath was approaching, everyone knelt in a circle and each member of the family offered their prayers. He wrote, "I did not hear one word of protest or anger. I did not hear one complaint about the government and the shortages of goods. What I did hear was gratitude to God for life and the relationship that they had enough to eat the past week. The children also expressed thanksgiving and love for everyone in their family. Everyone was focused on God's goodness and presence and their human relationships because that was what was most important in their lives. They all thanked God for the ability to now worship publicly that they had been not denied under the Soviet regime. Their gratitude was so sincere, intense, and expressive." Are we there yet? It would be nice to think that as Christians we can remember that we are not responsible for our own blessings. And we should have a little more appreciation for the physical blessings we have, and a lot more appreciation for the spiritual blessings that only we have. And most importantly for us, it would be nice if we can become more aware that the most important thing for us is to have a relationship with God and to be thankful that God has given us the opportunity to have such a relationship with Him.